Welcome to theconversation.org, making sense of these times.
Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click.
This show is brought to you by MightyCompanions.org. And now your host, Suzanne Taylor.
Thank you. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, no, ho, 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 it's Christmas. It's the new year. It's the new millennium. And here we are, dreaming some dreams. It seemed like a good time to take a look into the future and talk about what my visions are for the grandest things that could happen for me, for humanity, for all of us. Same thing, ain't it? The first thing that has sprung into aliveness is an old dream of mine revisited. And I've been putting it out since the start of the year, hoping I am casting pearls before, what's the opposite of swans? Before manifestors, and that this dream is so right and so good and so valuable that indeed it will be engaged by just the right people. So here's my vision. Seeing as I am eager to live in community, a move that all of us, many of us, are hoping to make in this energy of oneness that this mechanized, industrialized society has driven us away from, so that here we are living in separation, all of our affluence has brought us loneliness. Well, I'm lonely for my family, my spiritual family, my consciousness family, all the good work we do. If it's not shared, seems somehow incomplete. And not shared because audiences listen, but because lovers look in your eyes. So here's what I think we could do together. I see a resort for thinking people. I say thinking people, that's just a little shorthand for the aware and awake and serving people, actually, that I like to hang out with. There isn't any place really for us to go to find one another, is there? If there is, tell me and I'll go there. We have to do workshops if we want to go and be in the juice, so to speak. What about just going someplace where we know the energy will be stimulating and entertaining? Little Club Med for consciousness. Now, what I see going on there is that there's a beam going out to the world. It's not just a place to come for fun, although there's nothing wrong with that, but that there's a beam going out to the world from, let's say, a radio show or station that ideally is broadcasting 24 hours a day and doing the kinds of things that I do here. A station that you know you can tune into no matter when to be enlivened and informed and to be in the vibration of this loveliness that consciousness is. Well, what would happen if we had our radio station there would be that we would also have invited guests. We would have round tables of invited guests. We would have world leaders as invited guests. This is a really nice place. And in an ambiance of friendliness, not bureaucracy. I mean, could you even see some world leaders in the hot tub together? But in the kind of ambiance of warmth and hominess, which is the only kind of resort I'd like, even though it's elegant and wonderful, it's still homey, homespun. We could really become genuine with one another, no posturing. I mean, we wouldn't always be on the air. You know, we go on the air after we were not on the air, so that there could be a real exchange of genuine feelings and sharings and personal intimacy. And then, of course, there would be tapes made, and there would be videotapes and audio tapes. All these things would be available. Magazine articles would go out. It would be a source of emanation for putting our heads together, putting good heads and hearts and souls together to deal with the shift underway from separation to oneness, which is, of course, what's going on in the big picture. How are we going to get over this hurdle? How are we going to take all this material success and prosperity that doesn't seem to have crashed with Y2K, a little blessing unexpected, and how are we going to actually turn that into the life that will nurture all of the participants, which we still seem to be short on, although we are sensitized. Our bestseller books and all the kinds of public sharings. I mean, tune into PBS and watch some well-known spiritual folk hold court. It's all over now, we all know that. But somehow it hasn't cohered into the social order. And in order to cohere a new pattern, we can think about things like morphic fields. Rupert Sheldrake's work, I always like that work, where he points to the situation in which a new pattern can kind of enliven and light up a whole grid of reality, all of reality, if a new pattern comes in one small place that really is an improvement, an evolutionary move. So I see the activity at this resort being a place to set new patterns. Now, what are my qualifications for such a thing? It's a new millennium, so where would we start? We might start with the fact that I was really smart in school. In fact, the only class I got a B in, I didn't get an A in, was comparative religion. Can you believe that? Professor didn't like me. Some of the students went and protested. She's got all A's. You can't give her a B. But he did. Nonetheless, my accumulation of A's prevailed, and there I was, summa cum laude, the highest honor you can get. So I have this good brain. In fact, when I was in high school, they were nervous about me because I was good at so many things, they were afraid I'd never be able to find myself, so to speak. And they're actually right. I'm this generalist, kind of good at a lot of things and not great particularly at anything until, well, it's a new beginning. It's a new millennium. Now, some people would say that I'm pretty great at something that would actually qualify me for this resort madamship. I hosted a weekend over New Year's weekend. One of the many things I've hosted in this little corner of consciousness in Los Angeles, of which I am the proprietor. Here is what the event was. Here was how it was billed. This is a once-in-a-millennium opportunity to lose your self-identity. So don't miss it. I didn't write this. This is the flyer that somebody else wrote. Otherwise, there will be somebody that is still hanging around looking to get lost. Why wait to get lost when you can do it right now? Yay! It's funny. Well, this is the kind of stuff we do at my house. In fact, my favorite person, I've got lots of stuff up on my website about Yukio, and you can click over there. Yukio teaches radical awakening. Never take another workshop to look for yourself again. He's my favorite of all those people who are guiding to this state of awareness where you know that you are it. A lot of these are teachers who Papaji sent out to teach, Punjaji or Papaji as he's popularly known, and I've got another of my radio shows about him, and Yukio is one of those teachers. Well, this is a teacher who, his name is Howard Carpenter, and Course in Miracles was his vehicle for awakening. Seems like there are deeper and deeper and deeper places in the Course in Miracles, and he's in the deepest one, which is that you don't exist. That's another story. It's a long story. So I hosted this thing, and I just want to give you a couple of the comments that were made thereafter, just so that I can legitimize myself as the proprietor of the Resort for Thinking People. So here's a note I got. It says, "Dear Suzanne," it starts out with "doobie doobie 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 doo," which is kind of cute, and we understand. This is a new age greeting. And then it says, "You're the most splendidest hostess anyone could ever dream up. Thanks, oodles." Well, this is a grown woman, but you know, we're females. We talk this way. Thank you, Jean Clyde Mason. Now I want to play for you a message that came in on my answering machine. And this is from Florence Simons to give you a firsthand account of how nice it is at my place.
Suzanne, dear, this is Florence. It's Tuesday afternoon, about 5 o'clock. I'm calling to say thank you, thank you, thank you over and over again for the incredibly spiritual and it's such a beautiful weekend that you provided for us, you're hosting Howard and all the food and all your love and the space. It was just really, I was so moved by it, and I really can't thank you enough. So just know how much I appreciate it, what you did, and how much I love you. And once again, happy New Year. Thank you, dear, and namaste.
Well, thank you, Florence. Florence, in fact, I met through Yukio. She came and became a regular when Yukio was regularly hanging out at my house. Now, this is my biggest dream. In fact, it's so big, this resort for thinking people, that I'd like to contain these energies, this ambiance of loveliness and this high, high-mindedness. By the way, one other element of this resort that I'm aiming for is a woman named Aaliyah. I call her the Desert Saint, and I've been sending people to her. I was called and told, teachers and organizers have got to go and spend time with Aaliyah. Indeed, I did. She's a magic lady. She's not somebody you follow or worship. It's a different energy. She's somebody who gives you a reflection of the deepest, most profound self that you are, the God self that you are. It's tremendously empowering to spend time with Aaliyah. We'll put up a little writing that I did about her so that you could find her too. She's out in Palm Springs or Palm Desert in California. So with Aaliyah, with our round table, with those prestigious guests mingling with the people who come on vacation, with lots of fun, high-minded fun, I see this wonderful, wonderful place not too far from Los Angeles if I've got my druthers. And I float this notion out there, may grace receive it and manifest it. So that's my biggest idea. Well, I don't know if you'd call it the biggest, but it's the one that would take the most money to do, so I call it the biggest. Now, idea number two, vision number two for the new millennium. It's actually a vision that I committed to 4 years ago when I went for the second time to visit the crop circle phenomenon in southern England in 1996. You can also find a lot about this on this website, so I won't say too much to explain it. And you can find links to the most beautiful pictures that will just take your breath away. When I look at the world and I look at how imploded it is, as the way I would characterize it, in materialism, and I see that materialism just leads to more materialism, but of course what that leads to is the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, and that leads to revolt. Historically, we just are on this roller coaster where industrialization looks good, it's getting the goods for everybody, but the goods ultimately have a limited value, and you crash on all the goods lead to the bads. So here we are in a kind of sacredless zone, and everyone's searching as they've never, more searching than has ever been before, but still searching. And that satisfaction of having created a new order, a new reality, still eluding us. So what is it that could evoke that or produce that? Is there anything? Is there something? Is there something that we might look to for some miraculous means of doing something that the ordinary course of events does not seem to be able to produce? Who knows? I mean, maybe a slow accumulation of awareness will be a hundredth monkey sort of thing, and all of a sudden the society will pop, but maybe not. And I keep holding this thought of there is this one possibility that I see, and it has to do with the crop circles. Now, anyone who knows anything about crop circles knows that this is an inexplicable phenomenon. There is no way that we can explain this in the knowledge base that we operate from. It is coming from some other knowledge base. What does that even mean? Who knows? Another dimension, another solar system, an extraterrestrial, who knows? But not from here. Now, we have no compartment in our minds for not from here, other than as science fiction, you might say. But we really don't. We're up against the limits of our knowledge. Our minds are our knowledge, and then we get into this wispy kind of dream. But then you go look at crop circles, and you see, my goodness, this is not anecdotal. This is not crazy loonies. This is not maybe yes, maybe no. This is absolutely something from somewhere else. Most beautiful, most wonderful, most awesome. Follow some links and you'll know that too. So I think to myself, first of all, the scientists all say that if we ever discover we are not alone, it will change everything. And here we are with all the evidence right in front of our noses. We can get into it. We can touch it. We can take it into the laboratory. So here we are with all this evidence that we are not alone, and we're ignoring it. I mean, there are so few people that are enthusiastic and excited about crop circles, although those people are rabid. There is a crop circle culture. But isn't it astonishing? Maybe it's not astonishing. It seems to be the way of humanity that you deny what you can't understand. It is my understanding that when Spanish ships arrived in South America, Cortez's ships, the Indians didn't see the boats because it was beyond their comprehension there could be such things. So the mind has this funny way of turning off. So too with the crop circles. The mind of humanity has turned off. So here we are being contacted, visited, signaled regularly, things of exquisite beauty that we have no capacity to create. The mathematics of them, the geometry involved in them, the execution of them, where millions of weavers would have had to have worked in brittle crops to lay them in these complicated floor lay patterns, let alone the geometric patterns. Something is producing that can do stuff we can't do. Well, maybe it could wake us up. Maybe could wake us up is a little dangerous because presumably this is a world of free will or a planet of free will. No intervention, no deus ex machina, no salvation from anything. Although I did proselytize a bit about getting our attention on the crop circles during the dangers of Y2K, thinking if they could make crop circles, they could fix computers. However, let's not even go that far. Let's just say that we're doing what the scientists allowed for. And let's just say that we're noticing that we're not alone and that changes us. It does something to our arrogance, something to this perspective we have that we can conquer anything. Well, if we were conquerable, perhaps we would get on our knees. This phenomenon does not seem to be produced by people who want to conquer us. I mean, if they could make crop circles, again, they could make weapons, you know, they could blow us up, probably. I think they could do anything. Isn't it wonderful to contemplate somewhere there is mind in the universe that's not ours, that's deciding on things, that's designing things, that's executing things. There's a mind. Where is this mind? What table is it? What round table is it sitting around? I mean, it blows your mind to try to think that far. But nonetheless, think it or not, there it is. So getting the public's attention to the crop circles so that people realize that we are being contacted, that we are not alone, is my single silver bullet. Is it a silver bullet? Does that do bad things? Well, it's a good silver bullet that would explode this myopia that humanity is in. So that's my idea number two. Idea number three, and last, that I thought perhaps actually might come to pass during the Y2K scare, where I thought the world was going to get very scared, and if the world were scared, maybe the world would do something that it would not do if it were not scared, which I still think is a good idea, scared or not. And that is, if we took a minute of silence in the world, let's say it was at noon in every time zone, everything stopped for a minute of silence. Let's say focused on peace. Because isn't war just one of the, oh God, it just makes me cry to think about it, one of the leftover vestiges of our bestiality? How can we make war? It is so primitive, and yet we are so good at it. So what if there were a minute in every time zone, all over the world, we stopped for a minute to make peace. You know, they do say that in England in World War II, they did have a minute of peace at noon every day. And it is credited with preventing Britain from being invaded. You read that, so it has a ring to it. One of my great discoveries of this last year was a wonderful book that actually makes mention of such a thing. And the book is Instructions to the Cook. It's Bernie Glassman's story, which he wrote with Rick Fields. Oh, this is one of my all-time favorite books. I mean, I'm a cook, so in some ways it was very personal to me. The cook metaphor really worked for me. The subtitle is A Zen Master's Lessons in Living a Life That Matters. Oh, this Bernie Glassman. Engaged spirituality, you might call what he does. The Dalai Lama, in fact, this summer had a quote that kept going, making the rounds in emails. It is not enough to be compassionate. You must act. Dalai Lama, gosh, we thought he was, you know, a cave dweller. Or that high spirituality was a cave-dwelling thing. That's sort of been a myth. And for the Dalai Lama to come out and say this, it was quite nice, I thought. How can you live in a world that is so full of endangerment, human folly, and, you know, hang out in the cave? It feels to me like action is part of being a spiritual being in the world such as it is. In fact, we'll put up something that, quite a wonderful thing, that again, that also went around in email from the Dalai Lama, from a two-week retreat that he did, and some person, whose name I don't have right now, it'll be on the site, wrote up something quite wonderful that just tunes you right into this, the wisdom of the Dalai Lama and the wisdom of the essence of wisdom itself. But I digress. I'm on Instructions to the Cook by Bernie Glassman's story. Bernie Glassman is a Zen Roshi. He was Lex Hickson's Zen teacher. Our website is full of Lex Hickson. I feel like I stand on Lex's shoulders. He was my great personal ally and friend. And he was an activist, too. Deeply spiritual person, practitioner of five different religions, because he understood that the core of all of them was exactly the same. The oneness of non-duality is at the core of every genuine spiritual teaching, and it's where we must meet. It's where we come out of separation. It's this next reality that we are groping for. Lex died much too young. He died at 53, about 3 years ago. He just stood for this oneness and the action of it. We used to do wonderful things in my living room with Lex, some of which we have transcriptions of on the website. And at one point he said, let's get out of your living room and do celebrations of the human spirit. And I said, great, how big do you want them to be? You know, thinking we would do gatherings and, you know, small venues. And he said, well, stadiums. Promise Keepers do stadiums. How about us doing stadiums? Yay, stadiums! And then he left. Well, his Zen teacher had this to say in Instructions to the Cook. He says, the silence of meditation can have tremendous power. When I spoke at an interfaith group preparing resolutions for the UN, I suggested that we all ask the members of our groups to set aside 1 minute of silent meditation at noon for peace. Can you imagine the whole world stopping for 1 minute? My conviction is that if the whole world were to sit still for 1 minute, it would do more for the cause of world peace than 10 years of negotiations. This is an inspired man. Please get his book. It just takes you into the heart of being and doing. He is a doer. He's in the Bronx. His Zendo is in an area with lots of homelessness. And he's got all the homeless people, or got many of the homeless people, fully employed. They've created an apartment house where they live. They have a very well-known bakery that they operate, other businesses that they operate. He has visions to do this all over, for homeless people all over. But this is a treasure book, inspired by him and the action that he takes, but first because he's tuned you into that place of soul and heart that's deep within the being that is so right and so alive to the divine nature of the spirit. Well, those are my top three. Time for tops list, isn't it? Got our tops movies list? Well, this is my tops visions list. And perhaps I'll take us out of this program with something that you're going to have to quiet down for. Can I get your attention? If you've got minimized on your bottom line and you're typing away or whatever, let me get your attention. And I want to take you out with a beautiful, beautiful meditation. My top meditation of the year. I was visiting in the gold country up north in California, Nevada City. And I went to a Science of Mind church. And there was the business of the day and the church's business and all the activities that the announcements that they made. And they said, okay, now we're going to do what we came for. We're going to have our weekly tune-in. And close your eyes. So I say to you, close your eyes. This is what this wonderful person read. God is all there is. All is God. All that God is, I am. I now let go of everything and enter into the contemplation of peace and good and truth and beauty. I am conscious that God is all there is. There is nothing else. I am certain that the spirit of reality is my spirit and flows into my spirit and through my spirit. I am conscious that love does guide and direct, lead, maintain, and sustain me. I know that I'm the center of this divine life, in this perfect peace, this complete happiness, and this absolute wholeness. I know that this perfection, which is the center of my very being, is projected into every atom of my being. I know that the law of this being is perfect, and there is no obstruction to its operation. I know that the principle within me guides me. Whatever is for my benefit is already provided. It is all one presence operating through one fundamental law. Therefore, everything necessary to my well-being, everything necessary to remove any belief in obstruction, is brought into my experience. All good, all substance, all supply, all activity, all opportunity for self-expression is mine now. God is all there is. All is God. All that God is, I am. And there you are. And there we be. May we enter this millennium in God, of God, with God, in love and glory and peace. And so it is.
Thank you for listening to theconversation.org, making sense of these times. Now that you've heard from us, we'd love to hear from you. Click the feedback button on the show's webpage and share your thoughts. We'll be posting new shows approximately once a week. If you would like to be emailed when new shows are posted, let us know. This show is brought to you by MightyCompanions.org, dedicated to encouraging the awareness of ourselves as a one life and providing a meeting ground for those who share that awareness.